Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Real Talk, a movie podcast. We are your go-to source for ratings and recommendations of past and present films. I am your host, Wes Jones, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, this is Tommy, podcasting straight from Nashville, Tennessee.
The movie buddy Conway, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, Real Talk listeners, Wes Jones here, and this episode of the show is part of our interview series, but it's also an extension of our Scream episode, which was episode 16. We'll be talking with actress and author Leonora Sheffold, who played the cheerleader in the bathroom dissing Sydney in 1996's Scream. Leonora was only able to join us for a little while by phone, so the audio quality might not be what you've come to expect from Real Talk. However, this was such a fun conversation, we thought it fit perfectly with our Scream episode, and we had to share it with you. We hope you enjoy.
She was never attacked. I think she made it all up.
How did she lie about it?
For attention. The girl has some serious issues. What if she did it? What if Sydney killed Casey and Steve?
Why would she do that?
Maybe she had the hots for Steve and killed them both in a jealous rage.
What would Sydney want with Steve?
She has her own bubble butt boyfriend, Billy. Maybe she's a slut, just like her mother.
You're evil.
Please. It's a common fact. Her mother was a tramp.
Cut some slack. She watched her mom get butchered.
And it fucked her up royally. Think about it. Her mother's death leaves her disturbed and hostile in a cruel and inhumane world. She's delusional. Where's God? Etc. Completely suicidal. One day she snaps. She wants to kill herself, but she realizes that teen suicide is out this year, and homicide is a much healthier therapeutic expression.
Where do you get this shit?
Ricky Lake.
Oh, you are pathetic.
This is so cool. We have Leonora Sheffold. I hope I didn't screw that up.
You did good.
Awesome. She's with us tonight, and she had a speaking role in the movie Scream, which, of course, to us is our generation's quintessential horror film. So, Leonora, welcome to Real Talk. We're so excited to have you with us.
Thank you, Gabe and Wes. Hello to everyone in the Scream world.
The first thing I wanted to say is I love your name. Like, I think it is so beautiful.
Thank you. I hated it when I was in first grade. I wanted everyone to call me Amy, but I'm quite pleased with it now. People wanted to call you Amy too.
No, I said I'm the same way. My name's Gabe, and like people were always saying it wrong. One substitute teacher called me gay for a long time. I'm like, well, I'm not, but that doesn't affect.
But even if you were, we would still love you.
Absolutely. That's what, but. It was always confusing, but now I love it, because it's unique, and I bet you totally like your name for the same reason.
Exactly. My friends call me Lee.
Ooh, I like that.
So what we're going to do is we're just going to ask her just a few questions tonight, find out what it was like on the set of Scream and some other things. But Leonora, first, you grew up in the Pacific Palisades, which is a suburb of L.A., and the women in your family were actresses. Your grandmother, Penny Edwards, is a famous Western actress who was in several Roy Rogers movies. Your mother was Deborah Winters in both TV and movies like Class of 44 and Koch. So just tell us what it was like growing up with these influential women and them being in the film industry.
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I think a lot of people, one of my fathers, the one I grew up with, he owned a very famous restaurant on the Malibu Pier. It's still there, but it's not open. It's called Alice's. So I just thought we lived in a sleepy little town. And, I would go to my dad's bar when I was 4 years old, and Steve McQueen would bounce me on his lap. And it was just all very normal. I think the biggest thing you missed was that my grandfather ran Universal Studios with Lou Wasserman, the television division.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's always been an interest of mine, actually, casting. But he's responsible for casting most of the famous shows of that time, like Gunsmoke and Bonanza. But to answer your question, it kind of felt normal. And when I was a little girl, my grandmother came over, and she was very, you know, she did all the Roy Rogers movies and that Hagen girl and like 500, you know, Westerns for that genre. She was very well known. And to me, her name was Penny. We were not allowed to call her Grandma. And at the time, when she would come over, this one particular time, I said to, you know, my mom, I said, what's wrong with Penny? And, you know, this is a four-year-old talking, so it's all kind of weird. And she said, nothing, nothing, don't say anything. Grandma's had a facelift. And that was kind of the way it was. It was just lots of wigs and, you know, you just don't know any different. But you did miss one thing I'm really proud of, besides my grandfather. My mom stars in probably one of the most famous cult classic weird, it's not a horror film, but it's like a weird film called Blue Sunshine. I don't know if you're aware of it or any of your viewers, but you should check it out.
I have not heard of that. Gabe, have you heard of that movie?
Yeah, they lose their hair. It's like, I think more than Scream. I mean, who knew that Scream was going to be so popular for, you know, all these years? But that's how Blue Sunshine was when I would tell people my mom was in it. They would, the people that loved it, like the people that loved Scream, were just so into it. So, anyway.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
I've not heard of it.
Trivia. By the way, all actresses are really crazy, but crazy is not a bad thing, is it?
No, that's okay. It's not. No, we're good. So you followed in their footsteps. You know, you got into acting yourself, and I think you studied with the Atlantic Theater Company up in New York. So tell us about your time up there.
It's another interesting thing. It really wasn't a passion of mine, acting, but like you said, I grew up with them, so I thought it was something I sort of had to check out, and I did. I studied with David Mamet. My mom studied with Stella Adler while she was alive, and Lee Strasberg, so I did a lot of studying with those companies as well. David Mamet was one that was sort of more up and coming at the time, and now, of course, it's very famous. William Macy was my teacher, and Felicity Huffman, God bless her soul. My mother, I told my mom I was doing this Scream thing, and she said, well, don't say anything mean, honey. Always say nice things about everybody. But, you know, I said, well, Mom, you know,
my mom says the same thing.
Yeah, so I said, I'm not going to say anything mean, but I will say Felicity Huffman was an extremely talented but very intense teacher. But William Macy was like a sheer delight. And David Mamet is David Mamet. I mean, you know, he was a god, kind of like Keith Raniere is of that Nixium cult. It was interesting. Interesting times indeed.
And that led to some appearances on, you know, TV, like the MTV and the Jon Stewart Show. I think you were in a movie called Power 98 that had Eric Roberts and all that.
Yes, in my early 20s, I did work a bit. There's funny stories about all of those things you said. I did date Jon Stewart for a little while, but he wasn't Jon Stewart back then. He was just Jon Stewart, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. He was just an out-of-work bartender that had been bartending for 8 years in the city, that lived a block from where I lived, 11th and University, and he had a cat. But I used to love talking to John. He was, and is, I mean, obviously so intelligent. And then Eric Roberts is a complete asshole. Mom, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to apologize to your mom. But yeah. Now I know John Stewart's a cat guy. That's why it didn't work out, right? You're walking your dog right now. It didn't work out because he was a cat guy.
No. I have cats, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why it worked out. It didn't work out with John. Probably early 20s. He was 28. But that was a fun little, like, co-hosting thing. I played his blind date on his show. It was MTV back in the day. And the one line I remember was, he was flirting with me, and he said, "How would you like to have a little Jew in you?" So he kind of won me over with that cheesy line. Good times. I haven't thought about that in so long.
Well, I appreciate you sharing this with it. Real Talk is getting the inside scoop here.
Yeah. Cool.
And so, again, like all of this that, you know, you're doing, you're going to New York, you're studying acting, you're getting in the MTV, Jon Stewart show, all that. So how did you wind up on the set of Scream?
Well, I'm from LA. So after I spent some time in New York City, I eventually came home. Everybody kind of has it wrong about how I got my part, though. And it's not, I mean, it used to annoy me, but when you're auditioning and you're in a certain group or category, an ingenue, whatever, you're all basically auditioning for the same things. And Skeet and I had met before Scream and were already living together and dating, but I had a separate agent than he had, and we just both coincidentally auditioned for Scream. I didn't get the part because of Skeet. And actually, Wes Craven became like a good friend. You know, he really liked me, but he thought of me for the lead, but he said, when he auditioned me, he said, "I read for the lead. I read for Nev's part." Mm-hmm. Nev is wonderful. And he said, you know, the studio is not going to go with an unknown, you know, actress. And I said, okay, cool, whatever. And I let it go. And then a couple months later, Ski had booked the role. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I went out for that. But Wes never forgot about me. And so they just gave me, I didn't have to audition. Again, they just gave me that scene. And supposedly Kevin Williamson, that is the first scene of the movie Scream that he wrote. And I didn't have to audition for that. Wes Craven, he is such a cool guy. I was really sad when he passed, but we had like a nice little connection, and he just gave me that part because he felt bad that he couldn't give me the lead role.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, that's an awesome story. That kind of plays in to one question that I wanted to ask. A lot of different actors and actresses on screen dated and were friends. And so take me back to 1996. What was it like on set of the movie Scream?
Well, I mean, okay, I'll give you one little, a capsule or whatever. I'll probably just describe it best. I already knew David. David Arquette was my little boyfriend in seventh grade. We went to this acting school called CES. Well, it was not an acting school, it was an art school. So I already knew him, and I was already with Skeet, and Rose McGowan was Rose McGowan, and I had yet to meet Courtney. But Courtney Cox and David Arquette were not together at that time. And actually, Skeet and I went on one of their very first dates. And we all went race car driving, and, you know, we had a great night. But just one time on the set, you know, it was always really dark and spooky. It really was. But I was sitting in the trailer. I was there more than I would have been if I had just had that one scene because I was with Skeet. We were living together for a year before that. So I would go up there and visit. And one night I was sitting in the trailer by myself, you know, how you just kill time all the time. And Courtney Cox knocks on the trailer door, and I said, "Come in." And she plopped down in the seat, barely knew me, and proceeded to sit and chat with me for over 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
She told me everything about Michael Keaton, and she was just exactly. And then she invited me to go onto the set of Friends at a later date, which I did. She's exactly the way everybody imagines her. She really is like that. Mm-hmm. And I cannot say that for everybody. There's many people I wouldn't be able to say that about. But for her, it is no surprise to me that she has all these friendships and relationships. She's just a really cool chick who's like down to just sit and chat. At some points, I was like, when is she leaving? Like, I'm like, okay, so we're here. We're doing this. Like, we're just sitting here. And then I just kind of eased into it. So she, it was kind of like that. It was Nav was always working really hard. Drew was not there that much. Obviously, she was just like me. She had that scene. But Wes had a couple of dinner parties, so we did that. And, you know, I don't think anybody knew it was good. I mean, obviously, nobody knows what anything's going to be. But it was really cool. And then I remember the rap night, everybody, you know, drinking, and Rose McCowan kissing me on my shoulder. She was very lovey-dovey. She seems more angry now with the Harvey Weinstein stuff, but when I knew her, she was more like free, you know, and I think she's like that again. Everybody was pretty much in a very good mood. It was just fun, but it was also a lot of hard work. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
Did you guys know Scream was going to be that big while you guys were doing it?
No. And another interesting fact is that, it was originally called Scary Movie, but then they had to change it. And I didn't never like that movie anyways, but, you know, I never would have imagined that people would still be interested in it. However, I'm still very interested in Halloween, and I've met Jamie Lee Curtis quite a few times. And every time I meet her, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's the woman from Halloween. It's just something about certain... I guess it'd be interesting. You'd probably know the answer to this better than I, but I guess every decade or every 5 years, I don't know, or every year, you have a horror film that really, like, you know, sticks with people. For mm-hmm. me, it was Halloween and, I mean, I know this is cheesy, but Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was really scary. So, yeah, you know, I had done a few horror films before this, and I don't think anybody thinks. My brother's a writer, and he's written a million great horror films that have yet to be made, but he's in L.A. trying, and nobody knows what's really going to hit, you know? But Kevin Williamson, he wrote a great script, a lot like Quentin Tarantino, has a very strong voice, so, yeah.
Well, Leonora, I think you'll be interested in this. Our last episode that we recorded was actually on the movie Halloween. We are from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and that's where John Carpenter is from. And we've actually met John. I've met him on four different occasions.
I'm getting scared just hearing about this, and I'm walking my dog in Austin.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
Yeah, well, no, I was just telling you that you're interested in Halloween. Good. We're, you know, we've met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he like?
He is.
I should listen to the podcast.
You should. We would love for you to listen to our Halloween episode. But no, he is a very, very. You can just tell by listening to him that he is just a very intelligent man. He just sits down. He has such a calm, soothing voice. He walks you through like whatever your question is, explains everything just brilliantly. And then not only is he a fantastic director, just like you said, he's a fantastic artist as well. So it was so cool getting to talk to him. And
he's still alive. That's amazing. How old is he?
He's in his mid-70s now.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought he was older. I'm very happy he's alive. That's fantastic.
Well, one last question that I did have on Scream. Did you attend the premiere for the movie?
Everyone always wants to know why, but Courtney Cox included. No, by that time, Skeet and I had broken up and were in a really not good place. It was and he actually, this is a regret that I have always had for my whole life. He asked me to not go. And because it was his film, you know, he was the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Out of respect to him, I didn't. And of course, all my family and friends were like, "This is something for you too." And I didn't. And even Courtney was like, Courtney actually said it was one of the best scenes. She said she's such a good actress. And when I did that scene, Wes said, "How do you want to do it?" And I said, "Just keep the camera rolling, and I will go over and over that monologue until I get it right."
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. They kept the camera rolling, and there was one take, the take they used, and the whole crew clapped, and I'd never heard a crew clap before.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's like, yeah, it was the only time. It was like I got shivers, and Wes said that was it. That was the one. And Henry Winkler is really nice, too, by the way. I met him. But, yeah, so Skeet and I weren't you know, in a good place. So just out of respect for him, if I had it to do over again, girl, I would have gone, you know, I would have, because it was a great moment for me too. So,
well, we've had several people on the show to interview, and I had just never asked anybody about a premiere because, you know, we see the red carpet, we see, you know, the cameras, you know, the stars going in and stuff. I was just curious what happens like after that.
You know? I mean, it's different for everybody, but I mean, there's a lot of actors that just do the red carpet and they don't even sit and watch the movie. That's common. I mean, that's, you know, all those actors, different processes, but I'm sorry I didn't have a good answer for that.
No, that's okay. Gabe, what else you have? Yeah.
Well, the only other question I had, and it kind of goes along with that. Did Scream scare you? Like, how many times have you watched it? And the other thing, go ahead, answer that one, then I'll ask you my other question.
Well, it's really funny that you say that because, like I said, Skeet and I were together, so we were in the hotel for like a month, and every night that he would come home, because I like to go to bed early. Every night he would come home, he was trying to wash all of the blood off of himself, but he would crawl into bed and look like bloody, and it really smelled weird. And it just gave me this really creepy feeling. And, you know, I mean, obviously he was still Skeet to me, but I was like, gross, this is so gross. I'm like, you need to shower and get that blood off. Like, I can't sleep like this. He's like, well, I'm tired. I can't get it all off, you know? And, so the movie for me, I don't know how people are going to take this, but I don't think I've actually watched the whole thing in order. I've seen bits and pieces of it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I know the whole movie, and I saw most of it. I saw the end be shot. I mean, I saw a lot of it be shot in person, you know. But also, it was a certain time in my life that, because Skeet and I were, you know, engaged and together, and it was something that I just didn't always want to relive, like looking at an ex, because it was probably one of my first loves. Now mm-hmm. I'm at an emotional place in life where you can be friends with exes, but, you know, it was like my first big love. So in my mind, I would think, I just don't want to go through that whole journey again. I just want to leave it the way I remembered it. So,
no, that makes
sense.
And
I remembered it as great and fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I get that. And I did have one other question.
But I might watch it again now.
There you go. You need to. It's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's one of our two favorites, Halloween, then Scream. But I will say, your bathroom scene, I agree with Wes Craven, was spectacular. You were highly convincing. I was like, man, that girl is mean. Of course, Sydney probably should be crying. And you know what else I thought during that scene? I was like, because the killer's actually in the bathroom when you're saying that stuff to Sydney. And I was like, and the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, how long has that guy been standing on the toilet? Like, he must have been in there for, like, quite a long time, because how did he know Sydney would go in the bathroom? Like, what if he didn't go, she didn't go in that bathroom, and he's just been standing on that toilet for a long time? But,
just Nancy Ann Ritter, the girl that played the part in the bathroom, is a sweetheart, too, with me, you know? The one that says, where do you get this shit? And I say, Ricky Lake. I used to have strangers right when the movie came out for like a year, because I still lived in L.A. They would come up to me and recite the monologue, God is dead. And they would ask me to do it. I'm like, I don't even remember it. Like, it was a, you know, mm-hmm. it was like a weird, some people were very connected with that, the monologue that she says. What did she say? I forget. Suicide is overrated or something like that. Yeah, homicide. Right.
I was going to say, we're not weird fans. We just enjoy the movie and thought it would be cool.
They were nice people, but what I meant by it is that it was just a small part. It was like 30 seconds. So I didn't think it would have as much, like, it just had a little bit of fandom to it and that I didn't anticipate. Because I think my actual screen time is like 30 seconds. So it was cool. It was just very unexpected that people would remember it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a nice thing.
My last question was, I understand now you have a pin-up yoga book that just came out.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and where people can find it and what you're doing with it now?
Well, I mean, it's been a labor of love, but it's very important for me to say that this is not written from a teacher's point of view. It is written from a fan of yoga, and the pinup pictures, they just come from my grandmother. I look a lot like her, and so I just thought it would be fun and kitschy to, like, each chapter is, I say it's a great bathroom book. Each chapter has a different title. It's like 3 pages you can, or a page. You can read it, you know, when you're sitting on the toilet. You don't have to read it in order. And there's a funny little story about a pose, and I'll usually attach it to, like, Larry Sanders or Julia Roberts' butt. And each chapter has, like, a fun Hollywood name. And then it's got some great pictures, and it's meant to just inspire people to try yoga that wouldn't ever think yoga was for them. So I had an amazing, one of the most amazing artists of all time, Evan Wilson, who you can look him up, but he paints. He's a painter, but, like, an amazing nudes and, like, women and portraits, and he's in Vermont. He actually painted me for the Star Wars book. What's that director? George Lucas. He commissioned 100 of his favorite artists, and one of his favorite artists was Evan Wilson, and he painted me as the blue person in Star Wars, some blue lady. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He took the photographs, and then the man that directed the Craig Tepper, who directed the Vidal Sassoon documentary, he did all the artwork with me. So it's a labor of love. You could buy it on Amazon, or you can find me on Instagram, and I can, you know, send it. And it's just a cool book. It's a beautiful book. I mean, I think, and I love it. Thanks for asking about it.
Wife's a yoga teacher. She would be mad at me if I didn't ask about it.
It's a fan of yoga fan girl. It's not, I kind of don't like, you know, when people are like, everyone's a guru and everyone's the teacher and everyone's the lifestyle expert. It's not really like that. It's me just telling my story about my process with yoga in a fun, quirky way. And then you just, you know, take the best, leave the rest. I have had a lot of people tell me that they never would have thought to try yoga, and they did. It's just a fun thing. Right now I'm really into Bikram yoga, even though he turned out to be a pedophile too. So many pedophiles.
Oh, no.
But Bikram yoga is the hot yoga. It's amazing. But it was so fun to talk to both of you. I hope I brought you some laughs.
You did. And
you knocked it out of the park.
Great story. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And we're going
I just
to
say Wes Craven was one of the nicest, most polite directors I ever worked with. So I just want to reiterate that.
Well,
that's
we are
good to hear, because we love his stuff. So
yes, he should be beloved.
We appreciate your time, and we're going to link your book in our show notes for the episode. So if any of our audience wants to check the book out, they can just go to our show notes, and we'll have the link to where they can buy your book.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Gabe. Yep. I said your name right, and Wes.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Yep. Thank
we'll
you
see
for
you
your
in
time.
The scream. Sure. See you later.
See you. Have a good
Bye.
Night.
Bye.